Good morning, Frewsburg Alliance Church, family and friends. It's Pastor Mark here in the sanctuary of our church. I gave Wayne the week off for leading worship. We're going to worship in a different way. We are going to take communion at the end of service, so have your elements ready. And I fully believe that is a way of worshiping. When we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. That certainly is worship. But I want to welcome you. This is a special Sunday this morning. This is Great Commission Sunday. And you might be wondering, well, why do we call it Great Commission Sunday? What is the Great Commission? Well, the Great Commission is the final words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before ascending to heaven. It is kind of the mission that he wants us to fulfill here on earth. Now, you know, all four Gospels contain a slightly different version of Jesus' last words to his disciples. And also the book of Acts, which is just a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. Now, commission is defined as an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people. So this is really just the mission that Jesus wants us to fulfill. Now, I know we've been saying this often over the last, now we're going on close to 3 months now, that this isn't the fill in the blank that we had planned, that we had wanted. You know, wasn't the Easter that we had wanted. It wasn't the Mother's Day that we had wanted. It wasn't the Memorial Day that we had wanted. And I have to say that Great Commission Sunday is one of, if not my very favorite service of the year. And it's not quite the Great Commission Sunday that I would have wanted. I mean, this is a service in which we often do baptisms, where we welcome new members, and we do have several people that are interested in church membership. That's going to have to wait. It was some times where we've done baby dedications as well. Those are all put on hold. And actually, this year, I was getting very excited. We were going to commission three of our own people, three of our own church members for not even short-term missions, but kind of intermediate-term missions throughout the United States. And again, due to COVID-19, they've been put on hold. Those missions have been put on hold, if not canceled altogether. And so really kind of bummed about that. I was looking forward to hearing some of the stories that they had of God's faithfulness during those intermediate term missions. And as always, one of my favorite parts of Great Commission Sunday is commissioning those that are going out for service, gathering around them as a church body, laying hands on them and praying for them, for God's blessing, for God's anointing during their mission. That's not going to happen, and we are a little disappointed. But a couple things we are able to do is we are going to be serving communion at the end of service. And, you know, it's a way of being connected, again, of dying to self and remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We are also taking an offering for the Great Commission Fund, which funds over 750 international workers through the American Alliance Church. And many of these international workers are going and serving already in some of the most impoverished areas of the world. And we don't want them to have to come off the mission field. And many of them are doing some wonderful work like medical missions that are doing kind of food security in areas and in countries that really are experiencing a food shortage. We don't have it too bad here in the United States, so we want to be able to fund those international workers that are doing some wonderful, wonderful ministry worldwide in some very impoverished and needy areas. Again, I've been emphasizing, if you're going through some hardship financially, don't feel any pressure whatsoever to give to the Great Commission Fund at this time. But we wanted to make it available for those that are in a position because the need really is so great. And there is another thing that we can do this Great Commission Sunday. It is always good to sort of review our mission as a church and how we are going to fulfill that mission. How are we as Frewsburg Alliance Church fulfilling the Great Commission? You know, those marching orders that Jesus gave to the disciples before he ascended to heaven, which I fully believe apply to us. And so, you know, how are we, we're going to talk about two things. How are we supporting missions, you know, those, how are we partnering with those that are doing the mission of the church outside of our church body? Then also we're going to talk about where we're going to spend the bulk of our time is, how are we as a church fulfilling our mission? Of course, maybe defining what that mission is in the first place. So why don't we start off in a very brief word of prayer, and let's jump into it as we take a look at the Great Commission as recorded in the book of Acts and also in the Gospel of Matthew. So let's pray. So Father God, we just thank you for everybody that is hopping online right now and also those that will be watching a little bit later. I pray that you speak through me and through the words of your book, your ancient, your word. I pray that we will take the Great Commission to heart, that you stir in us a desire to share your word, your goodness in our community, in our region, throughout the ends of the earth. And I pray that we'll be able to live it out, that you give us the empowerment and the grace to live it out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is the tagline of the American Alliance Church that we are a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. Now, everything we do is Christ-centered. It is to give Jesus Christ glory. But Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's Jesus, you know, talking to his disciples. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that is locally, Judea and Samaria, that is regionally, and throughout the ends of the earth. So let's just briefly walk through this, what this means, and how we're living it out here as we fund missions as Frewsburg Alliance Church. As I mentioned, everything we do is to glorify Christ. And we are called to be his witnesses. Now, we're not called to be a salesman. Witnesses are basically people that just tell about their experiences. That's what really evangelism is. We talk about the goodness of God. We share the goodness of God with anyone we come in contact with, whether it is through word or it could be through deed as well. We serve others because Christ first has served us, laid down his life for us. Everything we do is Holy Spirit empowered. The Alliance has a core value, number 5, that without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And nothing truly means nothing. So we lift up Christ through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit by being his witnesses. And we do that in 3 places. We do it in our own personal Jerusalem. We do it locally in our own community. I truly believe that being witnesses in our personal Jerusalem starts with our own personal evangelism. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean preaching to our neighbor, but may mean giving a testimony to what God has done for us. Maybe it means serving them in some profound way that is really meaningful to them. But also, us as a church, we partner with many local ministries, and we give to them. We do give to, we have our own benevolence fund here at Frewsburg Alliance Church that we give to, and then the board, the administrative board, decides of how we disperse that as needs come about. And we've taken many special benevolence offerings throughout the year, and we also have a benevolence fund that's at about $1,000 right now that, you know, we've given to people as they've approached us and told us that they are in need. But also there are other ministries outside of our church, like the Relief Zone. that does before and after school programs for elementary age kids fulfills a huge need in our community. Also, we partner with the food pantry, which disperses food to families in need. So those are kind of the local ministries that we help out in our own personal Jerusalem. But then there's also our own personal Judea and Samaria, the region as well. We give to Judy Caldwell in release time, in which she takes kids in elementary school and she teaches them the Bible. We support Impact Campus Fellowship, which is myself, my colleague Justin Joyner, the youth pastor at Trinity United Methodist here in Frewsburg. We're able to go into the schools every Tuesday during lunch periods and lead sort of this campus fellowship. And that Impact Campus Fellowship is now in not just Chautauqua County, but Cattaraugus County, New York, Erie County, New York, Erie County, Pennsylvania, and also Warren County, Pennsylvania, in over 40 schools. It's amazing how that has grown. And there needs to be a gospel presence in our schools. And we fully support that. We support Love in the Name of Christ, Love Inc., which is not a handout, but certainly a hand up in which they help people become self-sufficient, people that are in kind of physical, financial need. We help support the Better Place Ministries, which is which helps network the church for transformational revival. It equips the church to be a house of prayer for the nation and also refreshes pastors. And I have to say a special word that this past Friday, the Better Place Ministries was able to host a prayer event in what used to be called Chattacoin Park in the pavilion. And of course, unless you live under a rock, you know that our country is going through some unrest right now, some racial and ethnic unrest. And so we were able to meet not just as a church, but also the mayor of Jamestown was there. The chief of police of Jamestown was there. And of course, the sheriff of Chautauqua County was there as well. And there were representations from church leaders from all ethnic groups. And we were able to just kind of pray for God's blessing, for healing in our area. And I have to say that there was an extremely peaceful protest that happened 1 week ago today in Dow Park on 7th Street in Jamestown, and it truly was peaceful. Again, representatives from the city of Jamestown were there, chief of police, mayor, and had some great dialogue with church leaders, which really set a wonderful tone in opening up the dialogue, saying that they will remain peaceful, and they want to open up dialogue. And that meeting also was closed with a very powerful prayer. And so we see the Spirit of God moving towards healing and reconciliation in this entire region. And that was somewhat spearheaded by the Better Place Ministries and friends of the Better Place Ministries. And I have to say, I was very proud to be part of that, the Better Place movement, to be that greater church of the Jamestown area. They set a wonderful example of what other cities can certainly follow. So we do spread. We are witnesses regionally in the greater Jamestown area, all of Chautauqua County, and truly beyond that as well. But also we support global missions. We've supported ministries in Kenya, Eddie Cazito and Day Spring School. We've also, of course, support Alliance missions through the Great Commission Fund. And even before I became pastor here, we've always sort of given away right around 25% of all monies that have been given to us as a church. And that's a wonderful benchmark. That is something that we can certainly be proud of, and that we are certainly a generous church. And we want to be a church that continues to fund ministries and fund missions locally, regionally, and throughout the ends of the earth. But there is also that we as a church want to fulfill our own personal mission here. And I think that mission is best kind of summed up in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew's version of the Great Commission, Jesus, again, before he ascends to heaven, is speaking with his disciples. And so it says in verse 18, then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so in that authority, he commands us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now the command here, we often focus on the word go. But if you look in the original language, the command is actually to make disciples, make fully devoted followers of Christ. And it kind of lays out a process. So first, in the going, you know, we're being witnesses of what Jesus has done for us. But we're also baptizing as people make that statement of faith, that proclamation of faith, that they want to be a follower of Christ. We allow them to make that public proclamation of faith by being baptized. Of course, that's symbolic of being dead to sin, alive in Christ. That's sort of the way that we welcome them symbolically into the body of Christ. And then, of course, that last is teaching. We teach people Scripture, but we also teach them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. Again, we have that core value in the Christian and Missionary Alliance that knowing and obeying God's word is fundamental for all true success. Of course, yes, if we're going to obey God's word, we have to know what it says first. But there's often times that we know what God's word says, but we don't obey. Really, obeying is the mark of a disciple. So often we focus on the process of discipleship, but we often fail to answer the question, what is a disciple? We fail to sort of define what is a disciple. I mean, what is it that we are supposed to be making? And we talk about, yes, it's simply defined as a fully devoted follower of Christ, but what does it really mean to follow Christ? Well, I want to give you maybe a little bit of understanding, kind of go back to Jesus' day, look to his culture to say, well, what did it mean back in that day to truly follow Jesus? And then how can we apply it to our situation today? But I want to say that Jesus had followers because he was a rabbi. Rabbis were the most respected, revered people in Jewish society. Part of that, the reason for that was because over the previous seven centuries, the Jewish people had been conquered by several nations, such as the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and then in Jesus' day, the Romans. So really, they had no option but to hold on to their God, to the one true God, to hold fast to their scriptures, to hold fast to their traditions. That was their public identity. That was their national identity. And rabbis were sort of the keepers of that tradition, keepers of that scriptures. They were sort of the liaison between the people and God. And so as a result, it was kind of the aspiration of every Jewish boy to become a rabbi because they were keepers of that tradition. And in fact, the entire Jewish school system was basically just a structure, a system to kind of weed out those that weren't qualified to be a rabbi. And so from age 6 to 10, Jewish boys, they attended a school at a local synagogue that was taught by a rabbi. It was called Beit Sefer, or House of the Book. And it focused on learning the first 5 books of the Bible, all called the Law or the Torah, which means the Way, because all of Jewish society was based on following those first 5 books of the Bible. So by age 10, every Jewish boy had the first 5 books of the Bible memorized. Did you hear me? You heard me right. Memorized. This much text, they committed to memory by age 10. Talk about dedication. Now, at age 10, only the very best students would continue their education on to age 14. It was in a school called Beit Talmud, or it was called House of Learning. And in fact, they would memorize the rest of the Jewish scriptures that now we know as the Old Testament. 39 books in all. Let me show you. This much text by age 14, they had memorized, the best students. They would also not just memorize scripture, they would also learn the art of question and answers, because rabbis didn't just want students that would kind of spitball and spit back scripture to information to them, the words of scripture to them. The rabbis wanted their students to demonstrate learning and understanding of the scriptures. And so have you ever noticed that often Jesus answered a question with a question? Because he didn't just want to spit back information. He wanted his students to think about the question they just answered, to demonstrate that they had some learning about the scriptures that he was teaching them. And so that was at the age of 14. Now, after age 14, the best of the best of the best would continue another level of education called Beit Midrash, or House of Study. Of course, they'd also already have the Hebrew scriptures memorized. So a rabbi would just fire off a bunch of questions about the Torah and the rest of scripture. And if a rabbi did not think that a student had what it took to become a rabbi, if he didn't think that student was the best of the best, he would say to that student, "You love God, but you should return to your family and learn your trade." But if a rabbi thought a young man showed deep insight and promised, the rabbi would say, "Come, follow me." Sounds familiar, right? Those are the words that Jesus said over and over again to his disciples when he first invited them to follow him. And quite frankly, I always thought it was a little strange that Jesus would merely come to a group of men who were fishermen or tax collectors or who know what, and merely give the invitation, "Follow me," and they would drop everything to follow Jesus. But of course they would drop everything if a rabbi invited them to be his followers, because they were the most highly revered members of society. That was the aspiration of every single young man in Jewish society, was to become a rabbi. But for us in our culture, we kind of think of a disciple as somebody who knows what another person knows. But in the Jewish mindset, being someone's disciple was something much deeper. A disciple wanted to be like their rabbi. They wanted to act like their rabbi. And so being a disciple or a follower of a rabbi didn't just mean, you know, being a student of the rabbi, but it meant becoming like the rabbi, acting like the rabbi in every way, being able to do what the rabbi did. It meant spending time with the rabbi, observing the rabbi, and then sort of being equipped to do what the rabbi did. In ancient Jewish culture, they had a saying, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." Because as a disciple followed a rabbi from town to town, from place to place, of course, they'd follow behind them. And of course, in a semi-arid, semi-desert climate, the rabbi would kick up dust, and it would basically get on their disciple. And so a disciple was literally covered by the dust their rabbi kicked up. I came across this quote from a man by Frank Viola. He's a pastor, theologian, wrote a couple books called Organic Church and then Finding Organic Church. And this is his reflection on the state of discipleship in American Christianity. He writes this. He says, "It's unfortunate that we have made Christian discipleship an academic exercise as well as an individual pursuit. Across the country, we have defined success in spiritual formation in terms of the quality and quantity of knowledge received and retained. See, we often measure this in terms of programs or course of study that have been completed. We have lost sight of the authentic aim of discipleship in favor of impractical, passive outcomes that do not shape who we are or how we live. Yet Jesus never told us, 'He who dies with the most religious knowledge wins.' Nor did he ever make discipleship an individual task accomplished through personal sweat or toil. Jesus spent his life equipping others to live a life for God and showing them firsthand what that looked like. He began with a community of 12 men and a handful of women who lived a shared life together. And that community expanded into communities all over the Roman world. These communities were the early church." See, Jesus' approach to affecting lives was interactive and hands-on. His lectures were few and far between and always led to implementing the point of a lesson in the trenches of life. His perspective was drawn from the big picture of God's kingdom that is based upon a worldview that was shaped by a comprehensive understanding of God's ways and his desired outcomes. Boy, I was very convicted by that passage. And I was reminded also of Rick Warren's very simple statement, the very opening of the section of discipleship in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And I think the beauty of that book is the simplicity and the simple terms in which Rick Warren puts things. And he says this about discipleship. He says, "You were created to become like Christ." Very simple, straightforward. I mean, that's discipleship in a nutshell, that we become like Jesus. I mean, Jesus lived a perfect life. So when God calls us to live a holy life, it simply means to live a life like Jesus lived, in obedience. Of course, we messed up this world, didn't we, after the fall? This is so much easier said than done. But it is what a discipleship is. It is what a disciple does. Is a disciple looks like Jesus and acts like Jesus in being obedient to the Father. Now, how do we truly live that out? That is the hard part. We can't leave house and home and follow Jesus and be part of this religious community. We're probably not going to memorize all of Scripture like the early rabbis did. But I do know this about discipleship. I do know this about becoming like Jesus. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to take great intentionality. And it's not going to happen alone. It has to happen in community. So if we are going to live out our faith and doing the biblical one another's, there has to be another one another in which to live it out with. We need someone to love. We need someone to bear each other's burden with, and so on and so forth. Author Pastor Timothy Keller simply says, "Without community, you cannot know God." And so the big question that's been running through my mind that I'm going to continue to ask myself, I'm going to continue to ask each and every one of you, how can we at Frewsburg Alliance Church help you become like Jesus or more and more like Jesus? How can we help you be a more and more devoted follower of Christ? It makes me want to reevaluate everything we do. Is our means of discipleship really making us more and more like Jesus? Does sitting in a Sunday school class for 45 minutes, is that sufficient in making us more and more like Jesus? Is what we do on a Sunday morning during service making us more and more like Jesus? Now, I fully believe that we need to come together for corporate worship, worship together as the body of Christ, lifting Jesus' name high. We certainly need to do that. And I think sermons are a wonderful way of kind of getting us on the same page, for everyone to learn sort of the same thing. But I think it has to go above and beyond that. And one thing I've been convicted is, do I personally need to be doing ministry a little bit differently here? I mean, yes, I think I do need to be preaching often. But are there some things that I can delegate to high-capacity volunteers that can free me up to be doing maybe some one-on-one visitation, one-on-one or one-on-three discipleship as we sort of do life together, as iron can sharpen iron? But I also need your feedback of, what do you need from us? How can we best help you become like Jesus? Do we need to train you and help you to connect with God on your own, to kind of self-feed? Do we need to surround you with a community that will help you live out your faith more vibrantly? Do we need to surround you with people that you trust, that you can do life together, that can encourage you, that can care for you as we do life together, as we follow Christ together? Do we need to model Christ-likeness more? Do we need to help you find a place to serve? Kind of like what Jesus did. He modeled it for his disciples, and then he sort of handed them the reins to do it themselves. Do we need to help you, equip you to share your faith with those you come across? To equip you to truly be witnesses in your own personal Jerusalem? You see, the Christian life, it's not complicated, but it is hard. It takes intentionality. It takes us also to intentionally enter into community as well and do life together. But Jesus himself, he had what rabbis called a yoke. You see, rabbis usually took the Ten Commandments and they expanded and had pages and pages, hundreds of laws based on how you live out the Ten Commandments. Many had over 600 laws of how you live out the Ten Commandments. Actually, Jesus's, they call that their yoke. Jesus's yoke was rather simple. Jesus condensed the Ten Commandments into two. It said, just love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all of your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That sums up the law and the prophets. That sums up the whole Hebrew scriptures. It's easier said than done, but Jesus also did say this in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He's inviting people to be his follower. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my rules of living upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, Jesus didn't mean to bog us down, to burden us with a bunch of religious laws to follow. Jesus, I invite you to come into a community of followers with the same mindset, to do life together in loving God and loving others with the love of Christ. Eugene Peterson in The Message, which is sort of a paraphrase of Scripture, says this. He paraphrased Matthew 11, 28 through 30 in this way. He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I don't know about you, but that seems like a wonderful, wonderful invitation. That's an invitation that I want to take Jesus up on. And I want to help you take Jesus up on that invitation. But one way that we can certainly take Jesus up on that invitation is to take his words, take him up on his words, that to be his disciple, to be his followers, we have to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. And one way that we certainly do take up our crosses is to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Remember the sacrifice that he made on the cross. That is the burden that Jesus bared for us so that his yoke can be easy, his burden can be light as we follow him, as we look to be Holy Spirit empowered. It's amazing that when we look to bring glory to Christ first, when we die to ourselves so that Christ can live in us, when we look to be Holy Spirit empowered, how light and unburdensome the Christian life can be. But again, that can be easier said than done. And so what we do is we come the first Sunday of every month to the foot of the cross, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made to us, to kind of get clean, to confess some of the sins, some of the habitual patterns in our lives that grieve God, to get rid of those, to confess those, to repent of those, to kind of have a change of mind, and be free to live the unburdened, unshackled life. And so we come to Paul's words to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul wasn't one of the 12, original 12 disciples. He wasn't there in the upper room on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He wasn't there for the original Last Supper. And so he had to learn Jesus' words that he said to the church. And so he says this in the 23rd verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says this, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He mentions that this is the blood of the new covenant. You see, the old covenant was the law. It was the set of rules that the Jewish people were trying to follow. And of course, Apostle Paul mentions elsewhere in Scripture that the law was just there to teach us right from wrong, to teach us that we can't possibly follow this on our own, with our own self-effort, that we truly need the law written on our heart, that we truly need a Savior to save us from our sin. And so the Old Testament does say that even though our sins are like scarlet, God will wash them as white as snow. And that is what the sacrifice of Jesus has done for us, the new covenant of Jesus, that it is a covenant of grace received by faith through Jesus Christ, through admitting that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And it is only through Christ's sacrifice that his righteousness has been given to us. It is an unearned gift through faith that no one can boast. And so right now, I just want to pray for the bread and the juice. Maybe pray a prayer of confession for us to get clean. And then partake of the bread and the juice together, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. until his return. So bow with me in a word of prayer. So Father God, we just thank you that 2,000 years ago, your son allowed his body to be broken on the cross for us, that he allowed his blood to be shed for us so that we can have a right relationship with you, Father. That through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our sins can be forgiven. As it says in Hebrews, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. So we just thank you that Jesus was the embodiment of sin for that time on the cross. And he took on the sins of the world. Your sin, my sin, our past sins, our present sins, our future sins, so that they can be forgiven. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your free gift of grace given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May we ever be forever thankful. May we never take this gift for granted. So, Father, we confess anything that we have done that grieves you, that hurts you, that is against your word, that is sin, that is not in obedience to you. We confess it right now. We turn away from it. We repent of it. And may we, through the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, live more obedient lives in obedience to you. And through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, may we be free from the bondage of sin. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's eat and drink together. And would you bow with me again with a word of prayer? Father God, we just thank you that Jesus' yoke is easy, his burden is light, that he gave us the empowerment of the Holy Spirit living within us, the power to overcome sin, that we don't have to do it by our own efforts. So Father, may we be filled with the Holy Spirit. May we yield to the Holy Spirit, moment by moment. May we not quench the Holy Spirit, grieve the Holy Spirit. But may we say, it is not I who live, but Christ in me. And Father, may your yoke be easy, may your burden be light. And as we follow our Rabbi Jesus, may we come to know that he is gentle and humble in heart. And he wants what is best for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you still want to give to the Great Commission Fund, you can send your check in, marked Great Commission Fund, to P.O. Box 567, Frewsburg, New York, 14738. I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that you see Jesus in a different light and what it means to follow Jesus in a different way. And so may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi as we try to follow Jesus Christ together in community as a Frewsburg Alliance Church family. And I say, please, I need your feedback. Some of the questions that I asked, how can we help you be more like Jesus? How can we help you be even more covered in the dust of your rabbi? I need your feedback. How can we best serve you in the body of Christ? I will continue to be asking this question more and more. And I hope maybe to visit, as things open up, to visit you in person as we talk about this even more and more, one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three. But God bless you all. Enjoy what is going to be a beautiful, beautiful day. So get out and enjoy God's wonderful creation. Be blessed this week, church.